Hello everyone, welcome to the CS School podcast. This is the podcast where we speak with CS professionals from all over the world. We learn about the hottest topics in customer success, and what we really try to do is strip them back to basics and discover how best to apply these strategies in practice. And today on the podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Akash Singh. He's the head of customer success at Asia Pacific and Japan at Software AG. Thank you very much for joining me, Akash. How are you doing?
Hey, Grace. Well, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me. You're down under, and we're recording this at different times. So thank you so much for taking the time. I think it's late in the day for you, but thank you so much. I've been really excited to have you on the podcast for a long time now. So thank goodness we've made it work.
I know, right? Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for joining me, because in this episode, we're going to be talking about something that you've spoken about quite a lot in the past. And I'm so excited to get you on the podcast talking about this. I think we were talking in the introduction call about the importance of, this is something we talk about a lot at the Customer Success Collective, you know, is sort of cross-functional alignment. And we talk about customer success and sales. We talk about customer success and support, product, marketing. But we haven't really spoken about before customer success and go-to-market strategy. And this is something that we're going to be delving into on this episode. So, but before we go into this, would you mind telling me a little bit about your customer success journey to date and what kind of your current role really entails at Software AG?
Yeah, sure thing. So look, I've been around in the tech industry for the last 20 years in some varied roles. You know, I was a computer science grad, and my early days were spent in Oracle Tech at Telstra, which you may know is a large telecom in Australia. And about six years later, I did my MBA, and it kind of changed the focus from tech to more business development. So I moved to a direct sales role, you know, closing business, selling enterprise software. But I wanted to challenge myself more. So I went to US. It was kind of good timing because it was 2014. And if you remember, customer success was in its early stages, you know, and I worked for a startup and I learned by networking and attending meetups, you know, trying new things, right? And building that startup CSM function. And I absolutely loved it. You know, I could see how it impacts the customer journey, you know, just thinking why customers buy, stay and use more. You know, a few years later, I came back to Australia. I worked for Adobe and Dynatrace, a software intelligence vendor. And, you know, I built their CS practices. And now I'm at Software AG. I run their customer success team, as you know, in Asia Pacific and Japan region. Now, we have a very mature customer base here. So I lead a team of senior CSMs who all were technical architects and senior consultants in their past careers. So I'm responsible to build that culture and deliver those go-to-market goals from CS perspective, which means really delivering that desired experience and improving the return on investment for our customers, which in turn impacts our renewal rates and incremental business. Yeah. Hope that gives you a little...
Brilliant. Thank
intro.
You. Yeah, thank you very much for explaining that. I think that's going to really sort of set the scene for this episode. So thanks very much for sharing. Very varied. And I love hearing about how people got into customer success. I really love it. So let's kick off, actually. So I think in this episode, I think it's going to be really helpful to sort of talk about the different ways customer success strategies impacts the sort of the GTM function. So should we start off with, for the purpose of this episode, talking about driving adoption? You know, there are obviously incredible amount of hurdles when it comes to driving product adoption. You know, you've got compliance issues, you've got diverse product deployments. But what kind of innovative strategies have proven most effective for your organization? Because this is something I think a lot of people will be kind of thinking about, you know, and I think, yeah, I was wondering, would you be able to share a success story where you might have overcome those obstacles to exceed your GTM goals?
Yeah, sure. So look, driving adoption is what we do for a living in the CSM team. And let me give you an example from our own company's case, you know. So when it comes to driving go-to-market goals, now we had serious challenges, you know, and you touched on a few, right? Like number one, we have a mature customer base, you know, it's a complex environment. You know, we have multiple products with different use cases and designs. You know, we also have multiple deployment options, you know. Solutions are deployed in the cloud and they are on-premise as well. So, and due to compliance, we have no visibility of how our customers are using our products. So we needed to step back and think creatively. You know, we built our go-to-market strategy with a customer success first approach. And just at a high level, we focused on five things, right? So firstly, we use Gainsight to proactively evaluate data to drive adoption. And it is our customer success management platform. So number one, to deal with compliance when usage data is invisible, we started to use capability adoption scores in Gainsight. And with that, we could still score customers' health for each capability customer is licensed for, you know, and still drive adoption according to customers' requirements, even though no usage was reported to us automatically. And second, we looked at product usage data. It's great, but it doesn't show us why the data is changing and where the customer is using the product. So we decided to use and look at telemetry data. You know, we use our own webmethods.io integration platform to push data transaction counts into Gainsight platform. And this helped us to see where the customer is using it, you know, whether it's the dev tenant, test, or prod, and truly measure adoption rather than just looking at usage spikes, right, which can be misleading. And third, look, our risks were identified late. And so we formalized the way to catch risks early. We worked out an internal process to track sponsors automatically in Gainsight. And also, we worked out a workflow so we could mitigate risks within the go-to-market pod as in team, you know. And this allowed us to escalate proactively, you know, get the right help at the right time to resolve risks early. And number four, look, I mean, for our incremental business, we needed to better qualify expansion opportunities. So we started to qualify opportunities at customer success level, or in other words, as they say, CSQLs, you know, by leveraging the success plans and also the health scores, which I was talking about earlier. And lastly, look, customer success culture wasn't aligned with the go-to-market. So we had teams working in silos, there were redundancies, there were missed opportunities, and so on and so forth. So we really needed to align our compensation targets for go-to-market teams so we all have a single goal. And we had a really good outcome. These efforts had led us to work collectively, impact our go-to-market goals, be it improving our retention rates or incremental business. Worked out pretty well, actually.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for going into such detail as well. I think that's really interesting to me. And I think a lot of people listening will be quite interested to know how that you've gone about that. So thank you very much for sharing that, Akash.
No problems.
So let's sort of segue on. Just touched on that briefly about, you know, navigating compliance and user privacy. And this is something you touched on before. But obviously, there are significant challenges with privacy regulations, user opt-outs. These are all challenges that CSMs and businesses as a whole are facing when having new customers. Could you delve into how your team at Software AG navigates these quite significant challenges while respecting user privacy and still managing to gather meaningful adoption data, which is obviously so crucial? So that for me, that's a bit of a, I can't quite get my head around that. So would you mind explaining to us?
Yeah, no worries. Great question, by the way, Grace. I'm glad you asked because I wanted to go a little bit deeper on this topic of compliance. You know, compliance is a big problem. We don't have any visibility when the users don't disclose, right? We didn't know how users are using the product. We didn't know whether they are struggling, when to offer help. And like I said earlier, right, we started to look into capability adoption scores in Gainsight. And the viewers can see a slide in the show notes if possible, right? So, and we used the capability adoption scores to tackle compliance and privacy issues. Let me explain a bit more, right? What you see in that slide is a scorecard. You know, it's a visualization tool for EBR. That's how we used initially our CSMs, because we needed a way to kind of explain to our customers what you own versus rest of the other capabilities. But we realized we could do a lot more. So we devised a scoring scheme, you know. So if the customer is licensed for that capability, we auto-populated it using a gainsight rule and set the score to 50. And that allowed the CSMs to have a discussion with the customer and update them with their notes. You know, we had set it to zero when the customer was not using and does not have any plans to, which clearly identifies it as a shelfware, a true risk. We set it as 25 when not using but plans to someday. And it's a great opportunity to bring in a, you know, a demo, a, show some tutorial, offer some training, and help identify a project, add it to the success plan, you know, drive adoption. Or 75s. You set it 75 when they're using it, but not to the full extent, but they plan to. And that's a great opportunity to bring in a product evangelist or sell some consulting service to extend their capability, right? And take it to the next level. And finally, you set it to 100 when they are using it fully as they intended to. Well, that's the goal. We all have one, right? So, I mean, look, there are opportunities here on not only for the CSM, but for other teams as well using this scorecard, because you could use it to identify beta testers, even event presenters. I remember we were running an API management event a couple of months ago, and the marketing manager reached out to me, hey, could you suggest a speaker for that event? And I ran a report and just to identify the customers who were top scored for API management capability, and then I passed on a few names to the marketeer, right? Now because it's a scorecard, so we could also write some notes in it and record, see the history of each capability. And I think this was really useful in assessing adoption risks. And one of the bonus points here is that if you don't have any dedicated CSM, you could use it in a survey. You could capture all the adoption levels by sending it out to the client in a survey and still be able to record the scoring and still drive adoption. And all of this was working wonders for us as we had multiple products, like I was saying earlier, but it was all apples to apples for us now, right? So we could apply the same scoring to the other business units, to the other products as well, and we could achieve one holistic health score for a customer. So I hope that explains how we were able to, you know, overcome the challenges around compliance and privacy and still drive adoption.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thanks so much for that. We'll definitely share the show note of that visual for anyone listening. Yeah. It's incredibly helpful. Thank you so much. That's really, really interesting. And you mentioned that product usage alone doesn't fully capture customer adoption. This is interesting to me. Would you be able to perhaps elaborate on this perspective? I don't know, perhaps with an example that for listeners who, you know, an example that perhaps, yeah, illustrates a more holistic approach to measuring true adoption.
Yeah, yeah. I think that rhymes really well with the previous point. So, you know, I mean, we usually see these graphs, bar graphs, and these spikes, these pie diagrams about usage data. You know, it's going up, it's going down in this geography, in that geography. But it's just plain usage data. It doesn't tell us much. You know, our strategy was to see the usage data and understand why it's changing, where it's changing. So we started to use telemetry data. Let me explain a bit more and go a little bit deeper. You know, they're you can also, the viewers can see the slide in the show notes for the transaction metering. But so we looked into transaction metering data, which was captured through our webmethods.io integration platform, which pushed data into Gainsight. And this helped us to measure adoption rather than looking at just pure usage metrics. And what we see here is we are reporting number of transactions like API calls, messages, docs, files flowing through our integration platform. And CSMs found it really useful in understanding customer adoption because we had both SaaS as well as on-premise tenants instrumented to send data periodically to Gainsight, be it the accounts, the tenant's name, the server name, directly from using webmethods.io into Gainsight, right? And it was really insightful. As now we could not only see just how much, but actually where. And let me explain a bit in that diagram, in that slide. The three cloud tenants, you know, the light blue is the dev where the users log in and write code. Pink is the test and dark blue is the production. That's the live tenant, right? The users log into the dev, not into test and prod. And if you were just looking at product usage data, then you would see a downward trend. You know, it is tapering down. And you would see, oh, there are adoption risks, there are renewal risks. There would be alarm bells for this customer. But looking at this screen, it's a beautiful trend of dev, test, and prod. A rise in dev could indicate a new project or use case. A spike in prod indicates more value. The more the value, the more the return on investment. The more the return on investment, there is more stickiness. And the beautiful part was privacy wasn't a problem here because we had a contractual obligation here that the client was disclosing the transaction counts. In fact, we had a bit of an opposite problem. Customers were asking us, hey, could you tell us the name of the API which ran the longest? Can you tell us the transaction name which had the highest number of counts? But we were not collecting this information for our customers' benefit, so we couldn't disclose this. And now you could see that with this, we were able to clearly see true usage and exactly where the customer is using it. So we could really drive adoption according to the customer's desired experience rather than just some spikes. I hope that explains a bit, right?
Oh, that's brilliant. That's a really helpful case study. And I'll definitely share the show notes because I think it's integral to your point. But really interesting that you found that. Thank you so much for sharing. I think something I'm quite keen to talk about, and this is something that crops up a lot when I'm doing research, when I'm, you know, speaking to guests like you, I'm talking and just listening to what people in the Customer Success Collective community talk about. And this kind of stems to sort of evaluating sort of your effectiveness of your customer success team in contributing to sort of GTM objectives. And like, I guess I'm quite wondering really, how do you assess that performance? You know, are there any insights that you could perhaps share with your knowledge, you know, on sort of the KPIs or metrics that might offer a nice comprehensive view of their performance and impact on achieving and hopefully exceeding those go-to-market goals? Is that something you might want to talk about?
Yeah, look, truly, our goal was to drive adoption to improve customers' maturity on our platforms, right? So number one, CSMs needed to help improve renewal rates. And for that, we needed to catch our risks early and mitigate them. So we started to use Gainsight to automate as much as possible. So we could free up time for our CSMs and allow more time for human touch. One example I can give you is our CSMs were proactively tracking all the important contacts at a customer in Gainsight. There's a feature called sponsor tracking, right? So we could use that feature to track these contacts. And what that meant was that every time this contact changed their LinkedIn profile with a new job or title, the CSM automatically got notified. You know, and this was really useful because we didn't have to rely on rumors when customers moved jobs. And we were able to catch such risks early. And in conjunction with that, we also wanted to identify and mitigate the risks and record them. So we were using click-to-actions in Gainsight to do this. For example, you know, CSMs were flagging a churn risk, right? I mean, there's a slide there which you can see in show notes. Now, in this specific example, the CSM has identified a risk. He as a churn risk. And she not only explains the risk, but she also recommends the steps to mitigate them. And in this case, the pod team couldn't mitigate it locally, so the CSM escalated and gets help from the executive management, be it product or sales. And these CTAs are a useful way to track risk. You know, you can see it on the right-hand side. We can see progress of mitigation plan tracked in a timeline. We see activities around, there was no sponsor, no ROI calculation, it gets escalated, the founder sponsor, a C-level meeting is organized. Now, this process helped us ensure that everybody in the account team is on the same page, all members of the GTM team, sales, renewal, CSM, and we left no stone unturned, locally or globally. And probably the most important, you know, CSM's record sentiment updates. There's another slide in the show notes around CSM sentiment score and update. This is super important because it is like the gut feel of the customer's adoption health. And let me give you an example. And if you look into the slide, the CSM scores this customer as 76 and records an update. And if you see there closely, the score history, CSM improves it from orange to green, back to orange, and back to green in the last 18 weeks. And it is this sort of information that I communicate as a CSM leader to my renewal leader on a regular basis for all upcoming contracts 24 months in advance. So we can ensure that we catch risks early and mitigate them as relevant. And this helped us improve our renewal rates as we could put a stop to our leaking bucket. But it was not just this, right? This is only from the renewal, increasing the renewal perspective. There was also an element of improving the incremental business, which CSMs are responsible for. And for this, we heavily relied on success plans. You know, I can give you an example of a success plan which is more like an adoption plan in Gainsight. And if you look at it, we are tracking multiple success plans for different use cases our customer is focusing on. You know, it could be the B2B, MFT, and so on. It's the different capabilities of our integrations platform. And if I double click on one of the success plans, you could see a number of activities in that success plan, which keeps the customer engaged, all aligned to improve their goals, their desired experience. You know, and as we all know, right, expansion is not sold, it is earned. And when we tally these success plans with usage data, we are able to identify opportunities as customer success level. In other words, customer success qualified leads. And if I run a report in Gainsight, I see quite a few, like opportunities to expand product to the next level, sell some services, sell more transactions, and so on. So yeah, that's how we assess our customer success management team to exceed our go-to-market goals.
Oh, thanks so much, Akash. That's a really interesting use of Gainsight, and I think listeners and viewers of this podcast are going to be really, really, I think they're going to be made up, because this is such a thorough, practical step-by-step kind of guide about how you've gone about this and just, you know, going way beyond the theory. So thank you so much for sharing this with us. I think sort of drawing slightly, sad to say, to a close, I'd like to sort of ask you how at Software AG and your just wider experience in general, you know, aligning CS compensation with go-to-market culture. You know, that's crucial for fostering a unified approach to customer success across an organization.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
would you elaborate mm-hmm. how this alignment is implemented within your organization and, I know, the impact it's had on both your team motivation and also, most importantly, customer satisfaction?
Yeah, totally, Grace. Aligning efforts is super important for the complete go-to-market team, sales, pre-sales, renewal, CSMs, and anybody else as relevant, right? Let me tell you how we did it, right? We wanted a KPI which is easy to measure, right? We didn't want to just pick up a KPI like adoption or NPS or some CSM activity like number of onboardings done. We needed something which drives the top line at best. And for us, it was NRR, net revenue retention. And as we all know, right, there's a correlation between NRR and valuation for a lot of public companies. As NRR grows, clearly, so does the valuation. So we needed to be on the same page as the go-to-market team and influence the behaviors positively. And look, again, I'm not suggesting we compensated by, you know, 70-30 or 80-20. The important thing is that customer success org needs to have their skin in the game. And we all needed to be compensated on a single metric. It was really important for the whole go-to-market team. And we were continuously measuring it. If it didn't work, we would change it immediately. And also coming to our intentions, what did it lead to, right? Our intentions were pretty clear about it. We wanted to work like a unit with the go-to-market team. We wanted to deliver a consistent message. We wanted to build culture, improve camaraderie between players. And the outcome of all this was great. Our communication was seamless within that go-to-market part. There were opportunities identified for new demos, services, and so on and so forth. We were able to flag risks, influence, motivate, and also avoid redundancy. So really, all in all, I think it would work really well for us, having that go-to-market aligned around compensation targets.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, it's been a phenomenal podcast, and you've really touched on some, I think, things that people in the wider customer success community will be struggling with. And I think it's why it's so great I get to talk to people like you, because you've walked that walk. And lots of people, I don't know whether they're in sort of early stage, or building out a customer success function of their own and looking to GTM strategies. This is going to be so useful, having listening to somebody like yourself who has gone through that. So thank you very much. And thanks so much for taking the time to go through this, because it's such an important topic, we haven't ourselves covered in huge detail, especially not on this podcast. So I really, really want to thank you, Akash, for taking the time to walk us through
that. No worries. Thank you, Grace. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me, right? I think it was great talking about just customer success in general and the different strategies. I think Customer Success Collective is doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you very much for saying that. And yeah, it's all down to people, folks like yourself who have taken the time to share their experience, because we couldn't do this alone. It's really down to you that makes this collective work. So thanks very much, Akash. And thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks, Grace. Really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our other episodes and go to customersuccesscollective.com for even more customer success related content. You can also join our global community on Slack, and you can find the link to that on the CSC website. But until then, see you next time.